Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky. And joining me for this Sip and Discuss episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hello.
And Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi.
So we are back with our weekly book club-esque discussions of a selected title. And this week we are discussing Crossroads by Devney Perry. This was the community vote selection.
Yes.
And so, yeah, this was, I mean, it was kind of on my radar because this is actually her first traditionally published book.
With Montlake, right?
Yeah, it's with Montlake.
It was TradPub.
Well, I mean, some people don't consider Montlake TradPub. I consider Montlake TradPub. Like, there is a process to having this book published. It doesn't just go through her own editors or her own beta readers. It goes through the Montlake editors also. And it's more than one round of edits. It's usually 3 to 4 rounds of edits on a Montlake book. So there are some things in this story, and we'll get to them, that I'm kind of like, well, did it get 4 rounds of edits? You know, so we'll see. Who wants to do the listing? You want to do it, Amanda?
Yeah, I can do it. Okay, so we are reading Crossroads, or discussing Crossroads, by Devney Perry. Release date was June 4th, 2024, so this is fairly new. Its subgenre is modern Western. It's dual timeline. The tropes are childhood friends, small town, billionaire, she's the billionaire, second chance, cowboy, close proximity, boss employee. The series name is Haven River Ranch. This will be a series of standalones. It's in dual first person. Put out percentage was 55%. If you did the audio, the narrators were Samantha Brentmore and Connor Crace. And this is available to read and listen with Kindle Unlimited.
So,
is it available like other? It's available everywhere because it's Montlake, or no? Only Kindle Unlimited.
Only on Kindle.
Okay.
Only on Amazon Kindle Unlimited. They do have paperback distribution, so potentially you could find Montlake books in retailers.
Want me to list the
trigger content warnings? Yeah.
Okay, so we also have some trigger and content warnings. Cancer, dying of a parent on the page in the past. Death of a parent off page in a past chapter? Is that how we want to say it?
Yeah, and then I would grief. Say in a past chapter. Yeah,
okay.
Lots of grief.
Yeah, lots of grief.
I did do the audiobook because it was read-listen. I actually... So the production quality of this audiobook was fantastic. And again, this could be just the slow start of the book. I don't know. Did anyone else feel the pacing of this book starting off was a little slow?
I thought only because, and I think I realized this, like when I was thinking about my notes for this book, is I think it was just a little slow because it was like a second chance and you were getting the flashback situation, I think. I feel like if I'm going to read a second chance with flashbacks in a series, that I want it to be a couple of books in. So I kind of already know what's like, there's like a little breadcrumby situation. So you kind of know what's going on.
Yeah.
But it felt a little slow.
She also casts a very wide net with everything that's going on. Like, you get the flashbacks, like, you know, a little bit, like you get the hints of a second chance romance, but she also withholds a lot of details that like are revealed, like about why she's in Montana, what's going on. Like, those details get revealed later on. And I think not having those details up front, like, it made it feel a little bit like, okay, I don't really know what's going on. It takes you a little bit to kind of get your bearings in the scene and the story. And then also to get a sense of the characters.
So in listening to the audiobook, I really struggled with Samantha Brentmore because there are more Samantha Brentmore chapters than there are Connor Crace chapters. So it's very heavy in the female POV versus the male POV. And I ended up having to go up to 2 times to get through some of
Oh, wow.
Samantha's first chapters, up and until I would say around that 50%, once all the world building and the ground laying had taken place. Then I was able to slow it down a little bit. But I didn't feel necessarily that Connor's chapters, because they were so few and far between, that they needed
Yeah,
sped up.
I honestly didn't even think about that until you said it, how heavy it was in her POV.
It is, and all of the
Well,
past chapters are in her POV.
right, and that's what I was gonna say is like I think it feels that way because there's a lot of throwbacks. Like every other chapter, the first half of the story, almost the first half of the story is a throwback, almost every other chapter. And all of those are her point of view. So even if there were a 50-50 split of the rest, like with how many throwbacks there are being in her point of view, like you wind up getting like 75% of the book in her perspective.
And I don't mind Second Chance. It is not my first pick of a trope, right? You know,
Yeah.
I like it more than Friends to Lovers, but I don't love it. And I think part of it is because so often in Second Chance, the author has to spend so much time giving us the backstory, particularly in a book
Yeah.
that stands alone. We get so much of the backstory. I just want to be present. I want to be in the moment with these characters, and I absolutely would rather have them show me than tell me.
I felt like I would have gotten a lot more out of the story if the flashbacks had been more about their relationship from both of their perspectives. Especially because, like, where things fall apart in the past, it's a massive miscommunication.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're spoiling it, right? Like,
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is full
yeah.
spoiler.
So, like, the way, okay, I just wanted to make sure. Like, basically, the reason they wind up, like, so she's going to Montana every summer. The flashbacks jump from, like, each of the summer she's gone to Montana. She goes to Montana for her dad. Her and her mom have basically spent her whole life account like accommodating her dad because her dad has cancer and Montana is like his happy place. So every summer that she's there, like from the time she's a child, she's building a relationship with him. Like first they're play friends and then like teenagers, they start hanging out and then they form an attraction and like he's, I think, her first kiss. And
Her
then
second kiss, but her first, right? Or no, her first kiss and her second sexual experience, I think, right?
no, he was her
Or is it the
first.
opposite?
I think it's the opposite.
Okay.
Anyway, they develop a physical relationship while they're there, but she's only ever there for a week. And it's very, very short periods of time. So, like, it's really only physical attraction and like their history that drive the relationship. And then there's the miscommunication of like him getting engaged to someone because he thinks she's never coming back to the ranch. Her thinking he's engaged and getting married, and then she gets married to somebody else, and then she finds out the summer, the last summer they come there, before you skip ahead to the present, that like she's there without her husband to bury her dad, and he never got married. Like they just never kept in touch. And I think like so many of their issues were communication. And I think they addressed that in the present tense a little bit. Like their communication is really good in the present tense. But there was a massive missed opportunity with this book on the enemies to lovers front because this could have been a really great hate to love situation because of her buying the ranch. He forgave her so quickly.
So, I don't disagree with that. And I think that, again, this comes down to a balance. This wasn't a very long book.
No, it was only like 280 something pages, 284 pages.
Yeah, so this isn't a very long book. And I do think this is on the short side for Devney. I think she
It
tends to
is.
write between 350 to 400 typically.
Yeah, or at least over 300.
So it was a really short book, and you having to balance these flashbacks with the present story. This is one of those situations where I almost wish those flashback chapters had been a novella.
Yeah. Like a prequel, if they'd done a prequel situation too, you could have incorporated that into the book.
Well,
And
just
then that would have put a pop way faster.
if they had given us the novella, like, because there's so many, even if it had been a novella of his parents breaking up, like a teaser of that, but building the world and kind of setting the stage of her coming back to the ranch. Does that, am I making sense? Like,
Yeah.
I
I know what
f
you mean. I don't know that I necessarily needed a whole novella about it,
but I just
though, to
didn't
be
need all the
honest.
flashbacks, though.
No, and I
And
get that.
do you
I get
think that
that. I
they
think it might
added?
have, like, what?
Do you think that they added to the story? Or if some of those chapters had given us more conversations, even if they had been between West and his brother?
So I
Because he never really forgives his
opposite.
dad, and we do get the prologue that's like we just kind of move around each other. Don't you feel there should have been a hard conversation?
My hypothesis with the flashbacks, because they don't help build the chemistry, like because of the way they're paced and they don't build the chemistry in the past tense between them. Like one of the things I struggled with the book was that they just go like from having a disagreement, like not really communicating, straight to kissing. There's no build up. There's no like chemistry build up. There's no attraction. Like it's just like it goes straight to that. And like one of the things for the flashback, like I felt like the flashback should have built emotional depth to their relationship. It should have added a lot more than it did. And instead, like for me, what it did was build her emotional attachment to the ranch itself, like why the ranch is sentimental and why she bought it in the first place, versus like it just like those flashbacks didn't dive enough into their relationship for me to get what I think it should have added.
I do think that if we had started the flashbacks at age 15, 16, when she
Yeah, but
starts
I
to
think
notice him as a
part of,
guy.
yeah, I mean, I get that part, but I mean, I think one of the main reasons for the flashback is because of her dad. So I don't think it would have had that much as much of an emotional punch if you didn't start at the beginning, maybe for her dad. But I do agree that you could have done it like I would have been okay with this book being in parts.
Did you? Oh, so like we got all the
Yeah.
youthful stuff in the beginning and then it went to present day.
Yes.
Okay, so did you find this book emotionally impactful, Amanda? Because I'm
I did. I
curious
mean, I
about
was
that.
upset at the end. I mean, I knew what was gonna, I had a feeling like that's what had happened when she kept calling him and he wasn't answering.
Yeah.
So I mean, I had this sinking feeling in, you know, the pit of my stomach or whatever. But yeah, I thought it was emotional at the end. I mean, I teared up.
See, and I felt India, I liked the piece of her calling her dad and her wanting to talk to him. Like, as someone who's lost a parent, I get that. Like that feeling of wanting that one last one-on-one conversation with them. Like, I get that. I mean, that's a daily occurrence for me sometimes. So I liked that piece. But I found India in the present day moments to be kind of distant and flat. Like she didn't give me enough stakes to connect with her emotionally. Like I wish I had known how manipulative the ex-husband was, because all we're getting is him like, okay, are you done playing around? When are you going to sign these papers? I wanted more vulnerability from her. I think that would have helped make that dealing of grief and that emotional impact of losing a parent at the end a little more. I would have felt it more, I think. Like the emotional connection would have been better for me.
I can
I
see
didn't
that. have complaints about that. I had a different opinion about it because I felt like for India, the fact like with the flashbacks, the storyline with her dad, I felt like for her, the vulnerability one, I felt like her circumstances made her a very confident person. She knew what she wanted, and she also had been shaped heavily by having this impending loss hanging over her entire childhood. and develop, like her, until the point of her becoming a young adult, she had this like impending loss. So I think like that kind of thing really helps you prioritize. So she, I felt like she had a very strong identity, and I felt like for her, the vulnerable thing was going back to the ranch.
Yeah. Well, and revisiting a past that isn't perfect. Like, she didn't leave the ranch in a perfect space. Like, she didn't get that chance to say goodbye to West and congratulations on his girlfriend or whatever the things were. He avoided her, he wasn't there, and she just kind of was like moved on. Okay, so I don't want to talk about the flashbacks anymore. We've spent time there. Let's talk about the current situation. So, the deception in this book. And so this is kind of 2 books, 2 weeks in a row that we've had a lot of deception in the book. Indy
That's
is
true.
keeping a lot of secrets. And I think that's another way that it made it difficult to connect with her. But I also felt like West was a bit of a doormat. I almost wish that this book had only been written in her point of view.
I think I agree with that. And West was kind of disappointing for me. I liked West. I felt like he was a decent hero, but there were a lot of developmental things that fell flat with him. Like there were potential conflicts, like the situation with his parents' divorce. Like he obviously had a hard time with that, and they don't really dive into the emotional aspect of that too much. They kind of gloss over a lot of things for him, like his ex-wife when it, or the girl, the ex-fiance, like when she comes around, they hint that like she's gonna stir high drama. She really didn't. She kind of just glossed over things. It was like a conversation and then sweep it out of the way. And it was like there were a lot of things with him from the beginning of the book. There were a lot of things with him that came up that could have been a potential conflict or could have driven like depth of character. And they just glossed over it. And it starts with her showing up and buying the ranch. Like, if someone from my past came up and bought, heritage land, like, I would have nothing to do with them. And he just forgave her so quickly. Like he just got over it.
I will disagree with you a little bit, Lindsay, on the ex-fiance and no other woman drama, because that is something that I hate in second chance romances. And I'm really
Same.
glad that things went the way they did with the ex-husband. Like, West said, "No, I'm staying. Like, I'm not leaving, and you aren't going to talk to her or me like that." Like, I appreciate that because I think it's really easy, it's really tropey in second chance romances to use the exes for the drama. But
Or as a
again,
villain.
or as a villain, and there's not a third act breakup here. And so
And
I think that we needed that. We needed more vulnerability and deeper emotion. If you're gonna not give me a third act breakup, cool. But she should have had to work a little harder to seek his forgiveness for all the deception and secrets she kept.
well, and that's what I'm saying. Like I agree with you 100%. I don't like the ex drama in second chance romance, but my issue is like there were all these opportunities to add depth to his storyline and they were all missed.
Yeah. What were you going to say,
And
Amanda?
I was just gonna say, like, I think West needed more depth of character. And I think, like you said, if she had just written this from India's point of view, it probably would have made more of an impact. But I also like I don't think that she necessarily needed to work harder for him. I mean, she's been through like enough with her dad. Like, I mean, I felt like pretty like broken for her. So I think maybe like the missed opportunity was delving more into his family drama, especially since we're on the ranch.
We're on the ranch, and the dad never really shows up again after that first couple of sequences. And it really would have made, like, you really would have fed into the deception, into the drama, the stakes that we want, had he caught the fiance and his dad together.
I thought that's what was gonna they were gonna say because I
Same.
kind of forgot that she slept with the neighbor.
Yeah.
Like for a second because I was like blanking on who the neighbor was, and I was like, did she sleep with his dad? And
Or even if they had been plotting something to, if she had been part of the plot from the ex-husband. And so that's another piece too. You kind of get India to be this savior. Okay, so she saves the ranch, takes it so that it doesn't get wiped and developed and turned into micro ranches, which is very commonly happening right now in the Montana area. So that doesn't happen. It doesn't turn into the billionaire weekend development. But like she comes off as like being a savior, and I guess I do like imperfections.
yeah,
And
no, and I get what you're saying.
I just wanted I felt like the story was there. It was well written. I don't have any complaints. There weren't any really, I didn't come across any timeline issues. I do feel like there was some pacing issues, and I think that that would have been helped if we had gotten a little bit more of the day-to-day of the ranch. Like, I would have loved a moment of her going on one of the excursions, like the fishing or
Yeah.
something that showed us like how, 'cause she's a city girl. She
Yeah.
was a billionaire raised in Texas. And she's not lived on a farm or a ranch, and she just seemed to kind of, assimilate. Like, there was no issues. I
Yeah, I
think
mean,
that.
and she, they kind of kept her towards the resort end of things.
Well, and I would have loved like some major blow up. I would have loved the on-page blow up between her and the first front desk clerk lady.
Oh yeah.
Or even his grandma, like the second day she comes in and she's not at the check-in desk. Wouldn't it, I mean, I would have loved a moment with some tension between grandma and India.
Well, I
Just
think that's because they gave her like CEO energy. And that's one of the things I actually did like about the book a lot is that they made her a very realistic female CEO type character. Like she comes into a failing business and she starts tackling it. She's working around the clock. She's busting her butt to like make this place successful, because she wants to. Like she has motivation for that. And a lot of times, I liked that they didn't have a blowout between her and the front desk clerk because, like, in a male CEO book, like, they wouldn't have had that kind of altercation. They would have just fired them and let them go. And I liked
true.
that they didn't make her like what a lot of women, like strong women in the corporate world, get misportrayed as. Like, that is, she had strong leadership values for the kind of, like, she had strong leadership values. She had a very good business acumen. She had a solid business plan for what she wanted to accomplish. And then she had the capital to make it happen. And she knew how to go about making it happen. And I like she goes into the thought behind like why she let her stay there. She's like, ultimately, this girl's gonna get fired. Like from day
Right.
one, she's getting fired. But she's like, right now, I don't have time to run the front desk. So anything she can do is better than me having to do it. So I liked how they dived into like her thought process behind that, because that is like very relatable for me.
The woman that was
you.
the house cleaner that ends up being the head of the front desk and customer service
Tara.
era, I like that India had a relationship with her. And I wish we had seen some more conversations between the two of them.
Or even like with the mother, like his mom, because Tara
Yeah.
is like her best friend.
Right.
Even, you know, even like Tara talking to his mom or some other, that was, I think, my biggest problem with the book was like we didn't get enough into his family stuff.
I
And we
did.
might in the next book.
Well, and we did get those moments between India and the chef, who really like
Yeah.
fought her on everything, and then he really like leaned into it, which I
Yeah.
appreciated because chefs are bitches.
Temperamental.
So a couple comments that I'm seeing is they didn't like the flashbacks, the deception with his dad. And don't you feel like that's still really unresolved?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, it's just, I mean, it's resolved in a way, but they just didn't deal with it. It was just like, well, he's just like, well, I'm just gonna like leave him alone and let
Why wouldn't you
him
kick him
be
off
a
the rent? Well, I guess he bought
he
his,
it's part of the property
yeah, to him.
she gave it to all of them, so
Don't,
he owns his place.
does the lack of dealing with dad, does that make you question how solid the HEA is, or do you think it doesn't affect it? It didn't really affect the romance of the book.
I don't think it affected it. And I think that's because the way she set up the deal, like what Wes wanted from the beginning, what the conflict between them was from the beginning, was that she bought his ranch and he wanted it. Well, come to find out at the end, like the contract is set up in such a way that after a year, he gets everything. Like his dad buys the ranch back and turns it over to Wes. So,
Yeah.
like, his conflict is resolved. I don't think his dad really plays a part in that unless, like, down the road, he were to say, never mind, not going to buy it back. But that doesn't happen. We see in the epilogue that, like,
Yeah.
everything
Yeah, everything went
works
the way it went. So I did have an issue because in the marketing material from the author, I went looking, she tags this as a cowboy romance. He never rides a horse.
Wait, what? I thought he does.
In a flashback, but in modern day, he does. When he's the head of the ranch, they never get on a horse.
I think that's also too because his horse died.
No, he has a horse. I thought
They go
He
to
does,
pet
but
the
he
horse.
still has to break the horse in
Yeah.
because remember that's how his dad started limping because his dad tried to do it because Wes just hasn't had time. So he has a horse he's trying to break in, but I think it's like, his previous horse died and but yes, I get the thing. Like he
It's the
never rides a
motorcycle
horse.
club that they never ride the motorcycle.
It's alluded to though, because there's see they do mention him like moving cattle, which you don't do that without riding a horse. And then a lot of his time, like when he's hiding off in the fields, like he's haying, he's baling hay. So he's not like you don't need a horse for that.
No,
Like
I
he's
know how to
using.
bale hay. I live in
But like
the
I think it's just
Midwest.
like because of the season that they're showing the book in and the things that he's doing. And like that's I think like ultimately the way she handled his time, like handling the ranch part, like when he's baling the hay, that's a critical point for him to be like, you know what? I can't remember the last time I've been able to undisturbed, like do my ranch activities. Like maybe she's actually what this place needs. Like that's what starts to change his mind about her from just like ignoring her to being like, maybe we are really able to work together here.
And again, this is where it comes in that this is one of those books that I think would have benefited from a single POV. I think we would have had more emotional depth, at least from her. I think we would have seen some of the connections and the way her mind work a little bit more. I think that it would have made for a richer story for her.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I really feel like West is just kind of a placeholder in this book a little bit. Because, like you said, Amanda, we don't get the deep ditches of his family life and how, I mean, his fiance.
He's not. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. He's not.
I was just going to say, he's just not as dynamic as I would have wanted him to be.
Right? So I guess that's it. I wanted more dynamic persona from him. As we go forward, this is only a two book series. And the next book, Sunrise,
Light, sunlight, I think.
Sunlight,
Sunlight.
Sun something. It had a title change because the other title was not good. I'm assuming the brother's story.
It is. I read the blurb. It is his story, and it looks like it's going to be an accidental pregnancy.
Okay. I mean, I like accidental pregnancy.
And she's going to be working on at the resort. Like I think it's like a one night something, maybe. I don't know if it's a
Well,
one
I
night
think
stand,
it's someone
but
she's hired in. It's alluded to at the in the epilogue, right?
yes, it's her. Yeah, it's the person that they talk about in the epilogue.
So we're going to go forward 5 years for the next book, then?
Seven.
7 years. Interesting.
I think, I mean, if it follows, because that epilogue was 7 years in the future, I think, right?
Yeah. Which will be
And I think that
interesting to see if we get resolution
with the dad
with the dad and the mom in
and the
that
mom.
storyline. Because I actually was more intrigued by that storyline than I was India and West.
I mean, I think it definitely could have played more of a part, but it might, we'll see what she does with this next one because I think it's going to have to come up a little bit because of the circumstances around Jax.
Right. Jax and his, yeah, baggage. I don't know what else to call it.
And I think it is sunlight. I looked it up. And I think part of the reason maybe we're going to jump ahead so far is because in this book, he's only 22.
Okay. Yeah,
So
he's
maybe 7 years, he'll be like 29, and that'll
well,
be.
and I will say that's something Devney Perry does do. Her characters tend to be late 20s, early 30s. Rarely does she write very young characters. Which is smart because I think that you write what you know, and I know how old she is, and so given her age, it makes sense to write, that age range. I also think there's a maturity issue there that you can do more with a character because of maturity. Okay. So let's do our thumbs up, thumbs down thoughts on the book. We'll start with Lindsay. Lindsay, thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs sideways.
I'm going to say thumbs up. So overall, I actually really enjoyed the read. It's a very quick book. I think it reads kind of like an Aurora Rose Reynolds with a little bit less depth. It wasn't overly emotional. It was a very fast, easy read. I thought the Western vibes were nice. I liked the resort aspect of it. I liked India's bit of the story quite a bit. So thumbs up.
Thumbs up. What about you, Amanda? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs sideways.
Thumbs up. I really liked it overall. Like I said, I maybe wanted a little more from West, but I enjoyed India. I had big feels by the end. So I liked it a lot. I'll read the next one, even though accidental pregnancy is like not my favorite, but I'll read
Yeah.
it because I want to know.
Because you got to know now.
I gotta know now. So
I'm thumb sideways. I am, I should have caveated this earlier. I'm a little jaded about this author. I disagree with this author on some of her things that she pulls. And I'm sure that that is jading my reading of this book. So I'm neutral. I feel like it was a well-written story. It was 3 stars for me. But what I lacked was the depth, the stakes, the emotional, engagement that I really want from a book. But the fact that it was a fast read, I mean, I think that kept it up, Okay, so if you liked this book or you liked the vibes of this book and you want books that are similar, does anyone have any suggestions? I have a few.
I have a couple,
Okay, go
but
with
go
what you
ahead.
got.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, go
Okay.
ahead.
I have Cowboy Seeking a Second Chance by Janice Whitaker.
Oh, yeah.
That is a second chance. That's book two in her Cowboys of Moss Creek. So it's May and Boone's book, and Boone he kind of broke up with May to go ride bulls in that circuit, and then he comes home to win her back. And it's that one definitely has that one has almost like a little bit of an enemies to lovers vibe when he comes back. And I really like that one a lot. May's really good. She like goes after people with frying pans, and that one's a lot of fun. So I would say if you want something with a little more enemies to lovers vibe on a second chance, I would go with that one.
I have Cover Me Up by Juliana Stone. It is part of the Bridgestones of Montana. It is a second chance. He is a rock star who left home and is home for the first time in 10 years. And it's the girl he left behind. And it's really good family drama. They have a ranch, but because it's the rock star story, we're not really getting into ranch life. There's a fun, quirky little girl in it that is his niece. And so much family drama. But Juliana Stone likes family drama, so it fits. And then Hannah Cowan, her Cherry Peak series, I would say has some of the same vibes. They're slower burns, and great plus size rep, but it has that small town fish out of water, because you know India kind of does have a little bit of fish out of water moments.
Yeah.
And we got that with the Cherry Peak series. Lindsay, do you have any?
Yeah, I do. So I was going to recommend like basically everything Bree Johnson's wrote
Yeah.
in the contemporary space, because they're all very much about like saving the family land. Specifically, I was going to mention King's Country. That is where like the hero and the heroine are on adjacent farms, and the heroine is trying to save her farm, and his family is trying to basically save their family fortune from going to her. And I thought that had like a very similar aspect in terms of like the attachment to the land and like how much of a role that plays in the story. As far as like pacing and timeline goes, I think like for me, I felt like she wrote not right similar to Roy Rose Reynolds, but in terms of like how long the story is.
Yeah.
But like Aurora Rose Reynolds is a really good one, or like Molly McLean. Both of those I think have like shorter stories.
Molly
They are.
McLean has shorter stories. We're Made of Moments was like 400
No, they're
and
long. Well, that series is long. I don't know about her
I
other
guess
ones might be shorter.
she has the shorter
She has
ones,
a couple that are shorter. She
part
has
of
a
that
couple that are
Montana
shorter.
series or the Wyoming
Yeah.
series she had.
She has a couple that are shorter. Not all of them are shorter, but I think the ones that I've read are short. If it's over 400 pages, I really won't read it very often. Like, I can name on one hand the number of authors I'll read over 400 pages. Like,
Kristen Proby, The Wilds of Montana, has similar vibes.
and
Oh,
then
yeah.
Laura Pavlov.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I do feel like Elsie Silver, Laura Pavlov, Devney Perry, rinse and recycle. And I'm not saying the stories aren't unique, but I think that if you like Laura Pavlov, you probably like those other two authors.
Yeah, they're easy to read stories. There's not as much depth as I would like to them, but they're fast reads. They,
Their
you know,
vibes over stakes.
but they are. There's like nothing memorable about them. Like, I can tell you almost everything that happened in King's Country, and I haven't read it since like January.
Yeah.
Crossroads, I finished 3 days ago, 4 days ago, I don't know, within a week, and I had to go off my notes. I already, like, I was telling Becky beforehand, I was like, I don't actually remember that much about this book. Like, in a year, I will not even remember reading this.
Would you?
So oh, go
Go
ahead.
ahead. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, like, I think when you get in, you mentioned Aurora Rose Reynolds, and I would say like Jessica Prince, very similar. But I think what makes theirs a little better, and I think maybe like why we're more invested in those is because a lot of those are like they have a little hint of romantic suspense, so you get a little bit of that. It gives you like something else, even if you're not getting like a full like emotional
Well,
situation.
and I think that that's why I wouldn't say Devney Perry and A.L. Jackson. Like, you
No.
automatically are not going to like those two. They write similar story, like family sagas, interconnected standalone kind of things, small towns or community vibes. But Amy has like such an emotional depth to her books. This book didn't have that.
And
Not
she
just
writes very
emotional.
differently. Yeah.
She writes in a very lyrical way, but she also has such like a hauntingly beautiful way of
Yeah.
capturing the scene. Like, her imagery is so rich that like when I read an A.L. Jackson book, I'm in the story. Like, I cannot put them down once I start. But like for this one, it was just like, oh, like there's nothing really hooking me chapter to chapter. It was like a nice book to just like come to when I had a free moment.
And I would say the description of the resort. I mean, like, I felt the bumps in the road. Like, it started out so good. I felt the bumps in the road as she was driving to the ranch. Like, right? Like, the way
Yeah.
that descriptive narrative. But then it kind of falls off a little bit. Like, it comes in pieces, the
Yeah, and I
descriptive.
think that's a problem with the flashbacks.
It's been a while since I've read her, but I read a lot of Devney Perry's books. her small town Montana books. And like for me, I wonder if like the Motley contract and process didn't necessarily work for her, because I will say, like, I don't remember her books falling off or like lacking that emotional depth. And I haven't read any of her recent stuff, like the last like 2 years. It's been a couple years since I read her, but I did used to binge read her books, and I didn't used to have this complaint. So I think it's unique to Crossroads, which is why I was a little more lenient with it.
Which is very true, because I will tell you, if you read the Adventures in Love series that Aurora Rose Reynolds wrote, those are three books that are with Montlake. They do not feel like the same books that we're getting right now with For Never or The King of Nothing. Like, you can tell that the editors in Mo at Montlake are very much traditional publishing editors. They are giving it a sheen and getting it short.
Yeah, and because I can tell you, like, the Devney's last book in the Edens was really well done. I really enjoyed that book. It's up there with like one of my, close to one of my favorites in that series. So, I mean, and I think that was the last book before this one. So.
Okay, so that's where we're at for that. We're gonna be back on Sunday. I think it's the three of us back on Sunday.
I think Jenny's coming. I don't know if yeah, because Jenny's got all the racing, right? Or no?
I don't know if Jenny's coming on Sunday or not.
Oh, she's okay. Well, somebody's gonna have to help me because I don't have that many racing books.
I went on NetGalley, Amanda. I went on
Oh.
NetGalley. There was a racing book over there I downloaded. Oh, Jenny will be here. Don't you
Oh, I went.
worry.
Do you remember like a year ago? I went through like a big F1, like for like a good
Yes.
week. I just read like nothing but F1.
Yeah, so I knew you and Jenny were going to have books, but I'm like, I don't know if I have enough.
I don't
I
have a
have
ton.
one
That is a romantic suspense. I'll dig up the title and send it to you because
Okay.
it was good.
Okay, so Jenny will be here.
Okay.
It'll be the three of us and Jenny back on Sunday with the racing edition of Buzzing About Romance. So get ready, start your engines. I have so many puns ready. Racing puns for that episode. I think I'm going to go back to the like really descriptive opening sequence again,
Just for fun.
just for fun, because I feel like we need it. And then we are back next Wednesday with our buzzing book club pick, Brutal Arrangement by Laura Lynn Page. And so I want to talk about this real quick. If you would like to join our book club, because we haven't talked about book club in a minute, right? We haven't really. Once a month, we host a book club. The community picks the book. We read it, and oftentimes the author joins us. And you can find details about this on our website at bookcaseandcoffee.com/buzzingbookclub. And that'll show you what authors we have upcoming. We have an amazing lineup for the rest of 2024, and I actually just booked January's author.
Ooh.
And she's a repeat, so I'm excited for that. But yeah, so if you would like to try book club, we always let everybody try it one time before they commit fully to our chaos, because book club can be a little much for some people. So if you would like more information about book club, send us a DM, send us an email, check out our website, let us know, and we will send you information. You can find the current list of books for our upcoming Wednesday episodes on our website. After Brutal Arrangement, then we go into our September picks. It's almost September.
I know, I'm excited about our books for September.
September, we're going to start off with a racing book. Like, how
Yes, and I have read
perfect.
that one.
And that's the one book she has for her list on Sunday. Sorry. Anyway, don't forget to follow us on social media for upcoming events and community engagements. We have lots of stuff coming in the fall here. And then if you love this episode, if you love us, leave us a review. Those help get more people's eyes on what we're doing and the podcast. And thanks to our Patreon members who support us so that we can keep doing this each week. Anyway, until next time, everybody, Happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.